Okay, I want you to close your eyes for a second. Picture the capital of the future, the absolute center of the tech universe in, say, 2026.
Right.
Where is the next generation of AI being trained? Where are the servers humming? What do you see?
I think for most people, the default setting is still kind of the same. Mm. You picture a foggy morning in San Francisco, maybe a massive glass campus in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you're thinking globally, maybe a bustling tech park in Shenzhen, lots of hoodies, lots of caffeine, you know, lots of code.
Right. We are absolutely conditioned to think the future of tech belongs to the West Coast of the U.S. or, you know, the East Coast of China. But today, we're going to completely flip that map upside down.
Uh-huh.
Because according to the deep dive we're doing today, the center of gravity is shifting hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shifting to a place we usually associate with oil, not algorithms.
It is a massive pivot. And we're looking at this source, the 2026 EMNIA Digital Intelligence Manifesto by the Tekken Game Strategic Team.
Right.
And honestly, this isn't just a market report. It reads more like a survival guide.
A survival guide? I mean, that sounds a little ominous.
Well, the authors are arguing that by 2026, which is, you know, the whole time frame this thing is built around, the rules of the digital game have fundamentally changed.
Okay.
It's no longer just about who writes the cleverest Python script. It's about physics. It's about energy infrastructure, geopolitics, and this really interesting concept they call content authenticity.
So they're basically making the claim that the Middle East, specifically the MENA region, is poised to become the, quote, epicenter of tech.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, feels like a bold statement given where we were, what, 10 years ago?
It is bold. But when you strip away the branding and just look at the raw data they present, especially around this energy crisis facing AI and the breakdown of online trust, it starts to look less like a prediction and more like an inevitability.
So let's unpack this, because I think for a lot of us, we still have this mental model of the internet as this floating, weightless cloud.
Of course.
It's just magic, right? You press a button and the answer appears. But this report says, no, AI is heavy.
That is the perfect way to put it. This is the first big theme they hit on, the infrastructure paradox.
Okay, define that for me.
Yeah.
What is the paradox?
Well, historically, software was treated as this infinite resource. You write code once, you deploy it, it scales to a billion users, it feels free.
Right.
But AI isn't just code, it's compute. And compute requires energy, massive physical amounts of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And the report highlights a statistic that actually made me stop reading for a second.
Mm.
Computational demands for AI are growing at 847% annually.
Annually, yes.
Yeah.
Nearly 900% growth every single year.
That is explosive. I mean, nothing grows that fast.
Software does. But here is the paradox. While the demand for that brain power is rocketing up nearly 850% global energy infrastructure, the actual power grids, the copper wires, the transformers, is only expanding at 3.2%.
Oh, wow. Okay, so those numbers do not match up at all.
Not even close. Think of it this way. Imagine you're trying to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Okay, got it. Now imagine the water pressure, the demand, is getting 50 times stronger every single year. But you're still trying to push all that water through a standard garden hose.
The house is going to burst.
Exactly. Or nothing comes out at the other end. That is the situation in the West right now. The report compares training GPT-4 to the next generation GPT-5.
Right.
It's not a marginal increase. GPT-5 requires 50 times more energy to train than its predecessor.
50 times. Just for one generational jump.
50. Because we aren't just retrieving data anymore. We are asking these machines to reason. Every time you ask a modern AI a complex question, it's firing up this massive furnace of compute power.
And the Western grid, the actual cables in Virginia or California, they're literally melting under the load. They just can't keep up.
They can't. And the source mentions this has triggered a bit of a panic in the industry, right? It's not just an engineering problem. It's a financial one.
It's a huge one.
It's a $185 billion panic, to be exact. That's the figure tech giants are pouring into what they're calling energy crisis investments.
So they're just scrambling.
They're scrambling to reserve nuclear capacity, renewable capacity, anything they can get their hands on. Because their digital brains are at very real risk of blacking out.
It's ironic, isn't it? The smartest software in the world is being choked because we literally can't find a plug for it.
That's the reality. Infrastructure has become the new moat. If you don't have the power, you don't have the intelligence.
Which brings us to the plot twist. If Silicon Valley is hitting a wall because their garden hose, the grid is too small, who actually has the energy?
And this is where the Middle East enters the chat. The report calls it the energy abundance factor,
So instead of exporting oil, they're exporting what, electrons?
In a way, yes, but they're converting those electrons into intelligence first. The report outlines three massive advantages the MENA region has. First, obviously, is solar.
Of course.
Saudi Arabia and the UAE possess solar potential that exceeds the total global AI requirements by 400%.
400%. So they could theoretically power the entire world's AI demand four times over just with the sun that hits the sand.
Theoretically, yes. It's an infinite resource in a way that the aging, coal and gas heavy grids of the West just can't match.
But it's not just about the raw power.
No, it's how they use it. And this brings us to a specific technology the report loves, liquid immersion.
Okay, I saw this in the notes. Liquid immersion. Because usually when I think of high-tech servers in the desert, I just think, bad idea. Electronics hate heat. Wouldn't they just melt?
That was the old wisdom. The old way to build a data center was build a big room, fill it with servers that get hot, and then spend an absolute fortune blowing cold air conditioning at them.
Yeah.
It's loud, it's inefficient, and in a desert, you're basically fighting physics.
You're trying to refrigerate a room in an oven.
Exactly. But liquid immersion changes the physics. Picture a server rack, but instead of sitting in the air, the whole thing is dipped into a bath of dielectric fluid.
Dielectric fluid, is that like, I don't know, oil?
It looks like clear oil, but it doesn't conduct electricity, so the electronics are perfectly safe. They're just completely submerged. And because liquid moves heat away from chips about 1,000 times better than air does, you don't need the AC. You just circulate the fluid.
So the ambient temperature outside, whether it's 110 degrees in Riyadh or 120 in Dubai,
Yeah.
it doesn't matter.
It matters much, much less. This tech reduces the energy draw by 45%. So you combine that efficiency with the fact that the energy coming in the solar is essentially free.
And suddenly the desert isn't a hostile environment, it's the perfect environment.
Precisely. The report phrases it beautifully. The region is transitioning from exporting oil to exporting intelligence bits powered by the sun.
They're turning photons into neurons.
Exactly.
That is a powerful image. But power is only one side of the coin, the other side is the software itself. And the report suggests that the monopoly we're used to, where everything is OpenAI or Google, is dead.
This is the second major pillar, the multipolar AI world. For the last few years, if you were a business, you used Western models. That was just the default.
It was the only option, really.
Right. But the report introduces us to a serious competitor emerging from the East, Moonshot K2.5.
Moonshot K2.5. Sounds like a sci-fi movie. What makes it a threat to the big Western models? Is it just a copycat?
No, and that's the mistake a lot of people make. They think it's just a clone. The report benchmarks Moonshot K2.5 as achieving GPT-4 level performance, but, and here's the kicker, at one-tenth the cost.
One-tenth. Okay, hold on. How do you get the same brain power for 10% of the price? That sounds like magic math.
It's not magic. It's all about the architecture. They use something called sparse activation.
Okay, stop there. Sparse activation. That sounds like engineer speak. If I'm a business owner, why do I care about that?
You care because it saves you a ton of money.
Yeah.
Think of a traditional AI model as a student who has to read every single book in the library to answer one simple question.
Right.
It's thorough, but it takes a ton of energy and time.
It's inefficient. If I ask for a cookie recipe, I don't need the student reading about quantum mechanics.
Exactly. Sparse activation is a smarter student. It knows that if you ask about a recipe, it only needs to walk to the cookbook section. It leaves the physics and history books alone.
So it only activates the part of its brain it actually needs.
Precisely. It does less work to get the same answer, and that translates directly to the electricity bill. Moonshot K2.5 runs at one-tenth the cost because it isn't reading the whole library for every single query.
That made so much sense. But there was another factor too, culture. The report mentioned something about dialects.
This is really interesting. The report notes that Moonshot K2.5 is 40% more accurate in understanding local MENA dialects like Arabic and Persian compared to the generic Western models.
I guess that matters a lot. If you're a bank in Riyadh or a hospital in Cairo, you don't just need a model that speaks internet English.
You need one that understands the nuance of the local language. If you're doing customer service or legal analysis, close enough isn't good enough. You need native level understanding.
So if I'm a CEO in 2026, I have a choice. I can use the expensive American model or the cheap, locally fluent Chinese model.
Or, and this is the big strategic recommendation in the manifesto, you use both. They call it the AI Switzerland strategy.
AI Switzerland, staying neutral.
Right. The idea is that the MENA region shouldn't pick a side. It shouldn't lock itself into just American tech or just Chinese tech. It should be a neutral hub that uses the best of both worlds.
So, practically speaking, what does that look like?
It means your tech stack is going to be a hybrid. You might use a Western model for certain creative tasks where it really excels, and then use Moonshot K2.5 for high volume data processing or local customer service to cut your costs by 90%.
That's a really pragmatic take. It's not about ideology, it's just about the bottom line.
And resilience. If there's a trade war or a technological decoupling between the superpowers, being the AI Switzerland means you don't get cut off, you bridge the gap.
So we have infinite energy and we have cheap, diverse AI models. But then the report takes a turn. It talks about something called the war on slop.
Yes, slop. It's such a visceral word, isn't it?
It is. But what does that actually look like in my feed? What is slop?
You've seen it. It's that LinkedIn post that uses a lot of fancy corporate words but says absolutely
Oh,
nothing.
yeah.
It's the recipe blog with a 2,000-word intro about the author's childhood that reads just slightly uncanny. It's content generated to rank for SEO, not to be read by humans.
Okay, I know exactly what you mean. It feels like filler.
It is filler, and the report predicts that by Q4 2025, 73% of social media content will be this bot-generated slop.
73%. So almost three quarters of everything we see online is just machines talking to other machines.
Exactly. It completely destroys the signal-to-noise ratio. And for a business or a creator, this creates a massive trust crisis. If a user can't tell if a human wrote something, they just tune out.
And authenticity becomes the most expensive commodity.
The most expensive.
Okay, but I have to play devil's advocate here. If the bots are getting smarter, like we just talked about with Moonshot and GPT-5, won't the slop eventually be indistinguishable from Shakespeare? Why does the report think humans still win?
That's the key question. The Teakingame game team argues that while bots can mimic style, they really struggle to mimic insight. They can summarize what's already known, but they can't synthesize new, counterintuitive ideas based on actual lived experience.
So the premium product isn't information anymore, it's point of view.
Exactly. They call it the mega standard. Their data shows that expert-authored content stuff that clearly comes from a human brain commands 340% higher engagement and 400% higher conversion.
Because it's scarce.
Right. In a world of infinite cheap AI content, deep human analysis becomes more valuable, not less. If you want to stand out in a sea of bots, you have to be undeniably human.
It's actually kind of reassuring. It means we aren't obsolete. We just have to be better. We have to offer the insight that the bot can't.
Precisely. Quality is the new competitive moat.
Now, speaking of things that bots can do, let's talk about the scary part of the report, the security section. They use this phrase, zero-click apocalypse.
This is where we have to look at the dark side of this autonomous age. The report highlights these new vulnerabilities in systems like Office 2026.
Zero-click sounds like a horror movie title. Give me a scenario. How does that happen to me?
Okay, so imagine you get a calendar invite for a meeting. You don't accept it. You don't even open the email. Your phone just processes the notification in the background to show it on your lock screen.
Okay, I do that 10 times a day.
That split second of processing, that was enough. The malicious code was hidden in the metadata of the invite. Your phone parsed it, executed it, and now they have your password.
So you didn't touch anything.
You didn't touch a
That
thing.
is terrifying. Because I can be trained not to click on a weird link, but I can't be trained to not receive an email.
Exactly. And the risk just multiplies when we talk about AI agents. If you have an AI assistant that has permission to read your email, access your bank, and book your travel,
And it processes that poisoned invite.
it might be tricked into transferring funds or forwarding confidential documents, just thinking it's doing its job. This is AI poisoning or prompt injection. The machine is being turned against its user.
So security isn't about building a wall anymore. It's about vetting the brain of the system itself.
Correct. The manifesto calls for a whole new AI native security framework. You can't just slap a firewall on it and hope for the best.
Before we wrap up, there was one more sort of futuristic layer the report touched on. It felt like the end game of all this energy talk, the quantum horizon.
Ah, yes, the quantum connection. This is really interesting because it ties all the way back to the solar fields we talked about at the beginning.
How so?
Well, the argument is, what happens when energy is no longer a constraint, when you have all that cheap solar power in the desert? The next frontier of compute isn't just bigger AI models, it's quantum computing.
And the report says this is already happening.
It says the investments are happening. They're tracking these collaborations between UAE firms and quantum teams in Singapore and Beijing.
So the idea is once you solve the energy problem with solar, you use that energy to power quantum computers.
Exactly. Quantum computers are incredibly energy hungry and sensitive. But if you have infinite power and the right infrastructure, you can run them. And a quantum computer running AI models, that's a level of intelligence we can barely predict.
It's incredible to think about. We started this conversation talking about data centers overheating in California, and we're ending it with quantum computers submerged in liquid in the desert.
It really shows the scale of the ambition in this manifesto. It's not just about catching up, it's about leapfrogging.
So let's just recap this journey. We've gone from the infrastructure paradox, the energy crisis choking Western AI, to the massive solar solution in the MENAI region.
We discussed the rise of a multipolar world with models like Moonshot K2.5 challenging the monopoly and that whole AI Switzerland strategy.
And we looked at the war on slop, the fight for human authenticity, and the frankly terrifying reality of zero-click security threats.
It's a comprehensive roadmap. Yeah. And the core message really comes down to control. The report concludes that the future belongs to those who control the power grids and the integrity of the data flowing through them.
It's not just about having the coolest app. It's about owning the pipes and the power plant.
Exactly.
So here's my final question for you and for everyone listening. It stems from that AI Switzerland concept. Mm. We are moving into a world that is clearly splitting into different tech spheres. You've got the Western sphere, the Eastern sphere, and these emerging hubs in the middle.
Right.
As an individual or a business leader, are you building your knowledge base to be compatible with all sides? Or are you locked into a monopoly that might just be losing its grip?
That is the critical question.
Yeah.
If your entire skill set or business model relies on one single provider or one single region's tech stack, you are vulnerable.
You're exposed.
Totally. The AI Switzerland mindset isn't just for nations. It's a smart strategy for individuals too. Be adaptable. Be hybrid.
Be a bridge, not an island. Thank you for taking us through this manifesto. It definitely changed the way I look at a map of the world.
My pleasure. It's always good to look beyond the headlines.
And to our listeners, thanks for diving deep with us. In a world full of slop, keep seeking the signal. We'll see you next time.